We have this morning to gather around your word with them, and we pray that both for us here and for them wherever they find themselves, that you would bring your word alive to our hearts this morning in the power of your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray, amen. Great, well, do have a seat. Do keep that passage open in front of you. It's on page 219 in the Bibles if you've closed it up. And I'm going to encourage you for 30 seconds to talk to the person next to you and say, if there's one bit of that passage that leaps out for you in terms of practical advice, something that really struck home with you, what is that thing that stood out that you thought, oh, actually, I could do some of that when I go home later? Page 219, 30 seconds, fill your boots, have a chat to the person next to you. Off you go. It is the unmissable community of our generation. It started in 2004. At the beginning, it was much more easy to miss. It was mainly under 22-year-olds that formed the community, and there were less than a few thousand of them. By 2012, this community, if not the individuals who were part of it, was valued at $104 billion US dollars. Today, it's a community of 2.2 billion people, which is liked and disliked in more or less equal measure. Perhaps you like it for its connectivity, perhaps you're part of the 2.2 billion members that make it up. But whether you like it for its connectivity or dislike it for its abusive trolls, for its airbrushed presentation of life, for the fact that even now it seems to be going into oblivion, to be surpassed by other platforms, whether you friend or unfriend it, its status as the unmissable community of our generation is assured. If you haven't realized, this community is Facebook. I wonder what it would take to make St. Mary's an unmissable community. I wonder what it would take to make St. Mary's a community which is known not just in our parish, but which is unmissable in Northwest Bristol, unmissable in Bristol, unmissable in the UK, even unmissable in the world. What would it take? I wonder what it would be like to be a community which is pure good news, where there's no backbiting or trolling, where life is embraced in all its technicolor without feeling the need to airbrush it and sanitize it, both where the presentable bits and the stuff that we tend to hide is equally embraced and discussed. I wonder what it would take to be a community which isn't ever going to be outdated or surpassed. I wonder what it means to be a community which is always going to be there and which is always going to be good news. What would it take to make St. Mary's an unmissable community? We're finishing our series in 1 Thessalonians this morning, and Paul is on hand in the letter to give us some helpful pieces of advice as we look through that passage this morning. And we're going to look at it in three main areas. You see, what makes Christians good news is that the community that we offer reverses the bad news of the fall. We get the chance to demonstrate relationships that are right relationships with each other, our right relationships with our own selves, how we function mentally and spiritually on the inside, and right relationships in how we relate to God. So that's the three ways in which we're going to look at this passage this morning. Right relationships with each other, right relationships within ourselves, right relationships with God. Let's have our eyes down in the passage, and we're going to start off by looking at verses 12 to 15. What will make St. Mary's an unmissable community is, firstly, if we relate rightly to one another. And Paul sums up that idea, if you saw it there, in verse 13. It sounds simple, but is rather difficult in practice. Be at peace among yourselves. And as we look through those opening verses, we see that the way we'll be at peace amongst ourselves is to respect the authority of leadership, verse 12. In fact, to do more than that, to have respect for those who labour amongst us and have charge of us, esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Quite a long and clear injunction there. Verse 14, we live at peace with each other as we urge one another not to be idle. It seems as if the Thessalonian church had a particular issue with people who didn't play their full part in the community of God. We're also going to be at peace with each other if we encourage the faint-hearted. It seems as we read the letter that the Thessalonians had some people whose faith felt particularly challenged over the issue of death and those who had died within their community. And then as we read on in that section as well, we see at the end of verse 14, be patient with those who are weak. And particularly in the terms of Thessalonica, that seemed to be the people who were weak in the whole area of sexual behaviour and were finding self-control difficult. Verse 15, finally, Paul says, don't repay evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another. For all its unmissability and for all its successes, we know that Facebook has its failings. I'm not sure that it can be described as a community that lives always at peace with itself. The idle are not warned. In fact, if anything, they're distracted more and more. The weak are not built up. If anything, they're torn down. And those who find things difficult, particularly gossip and sexual self-control, if anything, are weakened more and more. Community members don't always seek to do what is good. And sometimes evil is repaid with evil. And before we have too much of a downer on social media and on Facebook, actually, we recognise that it's not the sites or the platforms themselves which are at fault. I wonder if this is a scene that you've witnessed. Sometimes I sit in one of the lounges in one of my family's houses, and the door opens, and one of the family's children arrives home from school. And you hear, in a kind of snatched torrent, before they run up the stairs to their bedroom, you hear how the form room argument has developed during the day. And then suddenly you're aware of the fact that even as they're running up the stairs, their fingers are taking to Facebook to continue the argument that they've just left off in the form room. And then as the evening develops through supper, the parents get drawn in to that argument and start their own continuation of the argument via social media. In amongst themselves. You see, the problem isn't the platform itself so much as actually what we realise is wrong with us in ourselves. What would make St. Mary's an unmissable community is if we lived out a community that honours authority. If we lived out a community which warned those who need warning, who encouraged those who need encouraging, who strengthened those who needed strengthening, and who lived in love and peace with each other. I wonder who you could encourage this morning at church. I wonder who, before you walk through the door at the end of the service, I wonder if there's somebody who you could strengthen in their faith. I wonder if there might be somebody even who you might warn in a loving way that's aimed at bringing them more to life rather than pulling them down. I wonder, as we seek to be unmissable, whether that starts with making the most of the opportunities that we have not to miss each other. Part of being unmissable is actually not missing each other week by week. There's so much that we can do to be part of St. Mary's regularly, Sunday by Sunday. I wonder if you're regularly here. I wonder if part of being an unmissable community first stops with us missing each other as we're not around, perhaps as much as we could be. Part of it means spending time together over coffee. It's part of the reason that we're looking as to whether we can bring coffee up here at the end of the services. So at the end of our services, we don't miss each other, but we actually connect with each other as much as we can. I wonder where you connect with St. Mary's during the week, and where you connect with each other, and where you share faith together, and where you can encourage and strengthen one another. I wonder whether there's somebody this morning that you need to foster peace with. If Paul is telling us to live at love and peace with everybody in our community, is there somebody here that you think, actually, if I'm honest, I am not at peace either with that person, or we're not at peace with each other as much as we can be? Perhaps that's something that may have gone on for a long period of time. I wonder if this is this morning where you need to draw a line under it and to say, actually, part of being an unmissable community is to avoid missing each other, to put ourselves in each other's way, and to do so in a way that fosters peace, that strengthens, that encourages, and if necessary, warns. Sometimes this, what I love about this passage is it's intensely practical and it's intensely simple. Being an unmissable community is not about doing big things once every so often. Being an unmissable community is about doing the small things regularly and keeping doing them until it makes a difference. Secondly, let's have a look at verse 16. Being an unmissable community is about relating rightly, not just to each other, but also relating rightly to our own selves. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances. I wonder if to you that sounds slightly simplistic, given some of what we've heard this morning. I used to share an office with two really great colleagues. One was struggling with depression and had spoken publicly about it, and the other works with Christians across the world who share their faith via sports ministry. Sometimes those people found their houses being burgled. Sometimes they found their safety threatened. One colleague had had to flee the country for their safety, and others had Christian friends who had been killed. Does being an unmissable community mean airbrushing the reality of life from our church Facebook wall so that everything seems glitzy and perfect, so that it looks when I'm rejoicing, when actually on the inside I'm in mental meltdown? So it looks like everything is joy and greatness when actually life circumstances are threatening to crush me. Is that what being an unmissable community is about? And thankfully, the answer is no. Being an unmissable community, actually, rather than encouraging us to hide behind our airbrushed Facebook wall, actually encourages us to be honest and open. What will make us unmissable is not that we're airbrushing reality, but that actually we've invited, and we're invited in God, to simultaneously hold the complexities of life together with the good news of Jesus in a way that acknowledges both and allows them to interact with each other. As I sat next to my two colleagues in the office, I learnt that rejoicing doesn't always spring from the mind, and thankfulness doesn't always spring from life's circumstances, but that they both come from a deeper place. In the midst of the dark depression of the one, I saw a persistent rejoicing in the light of what God had done and God's character. It was a love that seemed to grip his heart even more than the mental ravages seemed to be dominating and controlling his mind. In the other one, I saw a thankfulness for what Jesus had done when he stepped into our messy world to save us, and a thankfulness for everything that he'd done in rising again to give us the hope of life forever. A thankfulness that, if anything, transcended the difficult circumstances that it was called to operate in. It wasn't as if the circumstances had gone away, but there was a thankfulness that was deeper still, that there was an answer to these circumstances that Jesus had fulfilled by coming into our reality. In neither case was there any attempt to airbrush the difficulties of life. In neither case was there the attempt to refuse any of the best medical or supporting help that the community could give. But in both cases, there was the sense that Christian joy and Christian thankfulness live and move and have their being at a level which is deeper than sometimes our minds can imagine or our circumstances can touch. And so it's not with any degree of simplicity that Paul says, what will make you an unmissable community is if you rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. And then finally, as we come into land, being an unmissable community isn't just about how we relate to each other. It isn't just about how we relate to our own selves within ourselves. It's about being good news in terms of how we relate in our relationship with God. Verse 19, just have a look at it. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. Paul, rather like our media, is compellingly realistic about the existence of good and evil. When we read of a violent crime in the city, we tend to read of headlines about evil stalking our streets. Perhaps if somebody is caught and brought to book, and there's a photo, we read headlines talking about things like the face of evil. Perhaps in light of terrorist attacks, we talk about the resolution that evil will not win. If we're in any doubt about the existence of good and evil, our media seems to be telling us what the Bible tells us is that good and evil are real things. Paul says what will make us an unmissable community is if we offer life. And if we offer life that's not just a concept that we talk about on an academic level, but if we offer life that is really alive, it's as alive as the breath going in and coming out of you at the moment. There is something living and breathing about the life that we offer. Paul says, do not quench the spirit. The spirit in the Bible is the breath of God, the one who brings us alive on the inside, who lives in his people, is here now manifesting the presence of God, who brings his living word alive in our hearts and minds, even as we're hearing it now, and who gives us the power to go and live out that life. Paul says, be unmissable because the life that's in you is a life that is truly alive. And so don't extinguish that life, don't quench it, but fan it into flame and live out the life that God has put in you. Don't despise words of the prophets. We recognize that this is the word of God, that God speaks through his word. God also speaks perhaps into those kind of those Bible verses or those images or ideas that he drops into our conscience and our minds, and we hold them up against this, the authoritative word of God, and God causes his word to come alive to us today. So don't despise the living word of God, but share it together and allow it to bring you to life. There's a sense in which Facebook is dying. Already, Facebook is more popular amongst the parents of teenagers than amongst the teenagers themselves. One day, Facebook, with all its 2.2 billion users and $104 billion share listing, Facebook will one day, and probably quite soon, be dead. It will be yesterday's thing. Unmissable true life is never yesterday's thing. God's life never dies. What's going to make St. Mary's an unmissable community is if we expose ourselves more and more to the living presence of God in his spirit through his word and the way he speaks to us today. As he points us to the joy and thankfulness we can have in Jesus and knowing Jesus who died and rose for us and who holds our hearts. And in making that living joy visible in how we relate to one another. As I said earlier, being unmissable doesn't mean doing one or two big things once every so often. Being unmissable takes everyday people doing everyday things every day. And if we do that, then God will build us into the community that he wants us to be. Let's pray quickly before we go on. Lord, we feel